Well, this morning I'm going to share a message with you that the Lord put on my heart last night during the evening yesterday. And we don't have a sermon title or anything for it because Chris was being celebrated for his birthday, and so he didn't get to be in the sound booth to get the sermon title and put it in this morning. But the message is Coming Out of Lodabar. Coming Out of Lodabar. And we're going to go to a passage of Scripture in the second book of Samuel, an Old Testament book, and read to you verses 1 through 4 to start with. 2 Samuel chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost his heart, and all Israel was troubled. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of troops. The name of the one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rechab. And they were the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth was a part of Benjamin, because the Beerothites fled to Gibeon and have been sojourners there until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth." Now, in verse 4, it tells us that Jonathan had a son who was lame. But then it expands on how he became lame. He became lame because his nursemaid, who was taking care of him while his father and his grandfather were in battle and ultimately ended up being killed, she feared, because of what would happen to him, that she grabbed him in haste, pulled him out of the house that they were in, maybe putting him up on the donkey or the horse, whatever it was, dropped him. Maybe he went over the other side of the animal and fell and became lame from that point on. And so he was 5 years old when that happened. And so we have an introduction to a particular character in the Bible that not everybody knows about. But there's a very powerful message when you study about Mephibosheth. And we're going to see that message today, and it's what God put on my heart and what he was saying through Pastor Lisa during the worship set this morning. Now we're going to go over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And see something more about Mephibosheth. We know his nurse had fled with him, caused him to be injured in the process of fleeing. And when we pick it up in chapter 9, verse number 3, we're going to see where they ended up going. Now, I'm going to give you a little context, because chapter 3 is setting up where David's inquiring about that. But I want to just get you to that location briefly. Then the king, which at this time is King David, and we'll see that in a little bit, but the king, who is David, said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." And the king said, "Where is he?" Well, Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Maacah, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." And I'm butchering all these names, but I know Mephibosheth, and I can tell you I know where Mephibosheth was taken and spent we don't know how many years. He went to the place called Lodabar. Lodabar. And I want you to learn something about the place that they ended up going. And what ended up getting them there. And to do that, I want to kind of set it up by sharing what the Holy Spirit was talking to the individuals who are watching today, who are hearing this message. That there are people who are hurting that are out there. Lots of people. Pastor Lisa was calling you to draw into God, you know, look to Jesus. He's the answer. And we don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to be dry. There are many people that are in a state of loneliness. Many people who are hurting, who have experienced difficult times in their life, and as she said this morning, there are going to be difficult things that happen in life. And so some people, when they experience adversity, they end up going into an inward place, a Lodabar. They go into what we're going to see as a dry place. They remove themselves from the mainstream of relationships, of friendships, of social activity, even church attendance, which has a social aspect to it. And they get outside of all of that source of strength, all of that source of nurturing, of fellowship, of encouragement, of people, you know, to be able to share their needs with, share their pain with, to pray with them about, and just to listen to them. There are a great many other people who don't just depart physically from everybody, but they do it inwardly. They live right in the middle of the hustle and bustle of life. They're still going to work every day. You know, they're amongst a number of people. They do their interaction. They might be going to church. It may be you that's sitting in here this morning that's in Lodabar. Going to church, but not connecting. So you're in the mainstream, you're in the hustle and bustle, you're amongst other people, and yet you still feel alone. How many of you know that you can feel alone even when you're in the middle of a crowd? You can feel alone when you're in the middle of a big family of loving people. You can still go to the place of Lodabar. So whether it's physically disconnecting or whether it's mentally and emotionally disconnecting, we can go into this place called Lodabar. From the orphan to the megastar, famous movie star, TV star, famous politician, famous business person, whoever you are, you can go and be in the place of Lodabar. And that's where Mephibosheth ended up going to. The name Lodabar in the Hebrew literally means this, a place of not having. And the exact definition is the place of no pasture. It's a dry place. If you would have seen my sermon graphic, it's this desert land that has had no moisture in it for so long that it's just got what are they called, Chris? Not trapezoids, but just the polygon is just multiples. So polygons, it's just like a whole surface of it where it's cracked and formed all of these geometric spheres, and just dry. And there's no pasture there. There's no vegetation. There's no life-sustaining water or plants to be able to live. And that's literally what Lodabar means. A place of no pasture, a dry place, a place of not having. Not having what? Not having the need that you have met, the resources to meet your needs. It was a town in the Old Testament in Gilead, not far from another place that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, north of the Jabbok River in ancient Israel. So it was still within the land of Israel, but it was a place where the down and out, where the forgotten went to be. And in the Bible, we see different places like that. Lodabar was a place of no pasture, a literal place where it'd be the last place on earth anybody would go to look for anybody, especially anybody of importance. And this was the grandson of the previous king. And so there is Lodabar. There is the camps of lepers who would be put outside of the group of people, you know, that were healthy, and they would be removed from society and they would end up forming camps. That's kind of a Lodabar experience. We could say orphanages, nursing homes can be a Lodabar, hospitals and long-term stays can be a Lodabar. Being so ill or afflicted or getting so in aging to where you can't just get out and move out and about, your very own home can become a Lodabar physically. And of course, as we said, mentally and emotionally, we can do that. Well, Mephibosheth Jonathan's son, was living in Lodabar, and you would find a whole bunch of people there, but not a lot of relationship. They're all loners. They're all isolated. They're all somewhat forgotten. And Mephibosheth, I want you to know this, was not in Lodabar because he had done something wrong. And so when God put on my heart to tell people that I'm calling them out of Lodabar, and so I went and got the scriptures and put this all together, and as you can tell, I was still rearranging, and I didn't get to finish some of my little bit of rearranging this morning, so forgive a little bit of looking back and forth. But Mephibosheth did nothing wrong. He was taken to Lodabar. Sometimes circumstances in life can send us to Lodabar. We can be caught up and taken to Lodabar from no fault of our own. When he was, as we saw, just 5 years old in the passage of Scripture we read, his nurse did what a very loving and caring, nurturing person would do. And so her motive wasn't bad in taking him to Lodabar. She was trying to save his life. Because in ancient times, when a king was defeated, any members of the surviving family would be executed because they had the bloodline of the king, the previous king, and could legitimately try to rise up in a rebellion and take over whoever was currently reigning. And so what would happen is the new king would come in, whether it's a conquering king or whatever, and would eliminate any potential future threats. And so Mephibosheth, for all intents and purposes, was at risk of having his life taken away, and he was just a five-year-old boy. So he didn't do anything wrong, and the nurse wasn't doing anything wrong. She didn't know any different. And it's too late to find out after everything happens in that kind of a situation. Had she waited and said, "Is it okay? You know, is it okay, or you want me to just take him away?" It wouldn't be, "No, you can take him away." How many of you remember, reading or watching the movies of King Arthur? And isn't it King Arthur who went away to do battle in other lands? And King George, his brother, rose up and was being cruel over the land. But King Arthur eventually came back. We've seen other movies, over the years where somebody like The Man in the Iron Mask, that novel, if you've ever read that, where that young ruler was taken away, put in an iron mask in a dungeon in a Lodabar, deep in prison, hidden away, but had this iron mask so nobody would ever see his face and recognize him. Years later, I can't even remember, how it ended up that he got out of there, but he gets out and he resumes his role. And so that was what the nurse was concerned about, and she took him away. And so she took him on the run, and in the rush to do that, he was injured. Which isn't that kind of the saying that people have? We don't want to adopt these worldly sayings, but how many of you have ever heard somebody say, or God forbid we've said it, and hopefully we learn from this. Maybe you never knew to learn from this, but you said something like, when it rains, it pours, or it just seems like when one thing happens, everything happens. And we're releasing our faith for one calamity after another. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I see a lot of smiles. I know, and if I catch myself saying something, anything like that, you hear a tragedy, and what does some people say? These things happen in threes. Ever heard that? Plane crash. Well, there's going to be two more. What are we doing? Why do we speak these curses in life? Why are we putting our faith out there for calamity to happen? And so very important for us to recognize this and not speak and embrace the Lodabar experience. Okay? I can tell you, there's a lot of things that happen when people are even children. Jonathan had a son. I know he loved his son. And Jonathan was the best of friends with David. I mean, they loved each other. They were great, great friends. Jonathan even protected David from his own father when his father was the king and trying to kill David. And he had a son. And if Jonathan could love a friend as much as he loved David, how many of you know he loved his son, Mephibosheth? But Jonathan was the son of his own father, and by duty and obligation was in the battle, in the army, in the fight. And he died. And Mephibosheth, at 5 years old, doesn't even know what's going on, has a permanent crippling injury, is taken away from everything he knows, his home, and goes into this place of dryness, of no pasture. And there are children who grow up and are physically abused, verbally abused, whether it's beatings or sexual type things. There's all kinds of emotional abuse that happens not only within the household, the immediate household, but it can be a relative, it can be a neighbor, it can be a coach or someone else. And they have injuries that happen in their lives, even as a child, like Mephibosheth. And they're taken into the place of Lodabar. Inwardly, they're in a place of deep, deep pain. And so it may be years that you've been in a Lodabar hearing this message today. And God is saying to you, come out of Lodabar. And I just want you to know that that's what He has on His heart. We have to recognize that Lodabar is a real place. It's a metaphor for us this morning. But it's a real place. It's a place where we all may find ourselves. And as Pastor Lisa said in different words, not knowing the message this morning, you may be in a place where you're hurting, where your heart is broken. And you can just turn to Jesus. You can look to God. And that's the message that He has. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Come to me. And I find that really, really amazing as I meditated on this scripture last night, in the middle of the night, early this morning, and as I was going over the notes before we left, that Jesus is calling us to come out. He's calling us to come out of this place of no pasture, this dry place. But we have to get up and choose to go out of that place. See, what can happen in our lives is we can end up getting settled in a place and choose to stay there. To cut ourselves off from family, from church family, from friends and other people who can be a help to us. We say, no, I just want to go off and be alone. And that Lodabar place is a place where you're not being fed. It's a place of no pasture. It's a place of no nutrition, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. It can even be a place of no nutrition physically. Who's been in a Lodabar and you say you lose your appetite, and because you don't have a wife saying, you got to eat something. Who's ever been ill or been in just a discouragement place of discouragement, a Lodabar, and said, I just don't feel like eating. And then the next meal, it can be, I don't feel like eating. And you can do that. And next thing you know it, you're shrinking away and becoming physically weaker, which will cause you to be psychologically, emotionally, and even spiritually weaker. But when you live in the house with someone else, if I was in a place like that, Lisa would be able to say, you need to eat something. Even when we're ill, our loved one, when we just don't feel like eating anything, they'll say, here, just drink this broth. You have to have something. You have to drink water. You're going to dehydrate. You're going to become malnourished. We understand this in the natural, don't we? And that can happen, and we have to hear the voice of the Lord who says, come out. And in this, come to me, You are weary. You're heavy laden. You have a burden that you're carrying. You have pain that you're carrying. Come to me and I will give you rest. Amen. You know, Jesus is always there. He told his disciples when he departed that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so he's there calling us out, but we have to choose to come out of that place. And when I thought about that come out, that call to come to Jesus, which means to come from the place of dryness, the place of no pasture, that we have to make the decision always to come. Even as believers, even as followers of Jesus Christ, we can allow ourselves to go into a place of Lodabar, and he is still saying, come. Come out of the place you're in and come in to fellowship with me. Thank God for a church family. Thank God for natural family that love us and care about us. Thank God for good friends that will try to give us something of nourishment when we're in that place. It might be a phone call. It might be a visit. It might be getting you to get out of your house and go have a cup of coffee. You know, everybody, when they lose a loved one, grieves differently. We thank God for Grief Share here in our church, and Tina, who leads that, does a wonderful job, along with Pastor Lisa. They're here every week making sure that people can come and share their grief. But I can guarantee that they would say that they've encountered a number of people now over the last few sessions, and they grieve differently. My mom grieved and still is grieving. Grief never ends, but you know, you understand, and the throes of grief, hard and long, and wanted to just be in the Lodabar. And she moved up there, but you know, but it's so easy to feel alone, even in the midst of all the activity of family going on. And you just stay off alone. To have a church that she found, and it's a blessing, and that's God's grace and God's gift, and I thank God for it, because she wouldn't go otherwise. But there are people that are in that church that on occasion will say, hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee. Let's go out for lunch. Come to Bible study. Join our Bible study. She's in a Bible study that I'm like, man, that's like a Bible college course. I don't know why you're having to do all that kind of information and answer 5,000 questions. I'm exaggerating, but many, many questions, you know, about the dimensions and how many columns are in the tabernacle and all this stuff. Got to draw it out, you know, and everything. And it's like, all right, you know, but I thank God that she's in that and experiencing that in that fellowship. She has neighbors who will take her to go to the store to pick something up. Just happened when I was talking to her the other day, the neighbor arrived, and to be able to take her to the store. So she can be in a Lodabar, but there are people that will give you some nutrition. God can send some provision in that place just to sustain you. But you don't want to live there. It's not a place that you want to live. It's a place that you should desire to come out. And that's the message today, is come out of Lodabar. God's saying, come out of the place that's dry. Come out of the place of no pasture. And come into the place of abundance. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. God has a better plan than Lodabar for every person that's in this room today. And the Holy Spirit, through Pastor Lisa, I just keep reminding you of this so that you have a witness that tells you that the Holy Spirit's calling you out of Lodabar this morning. She said there may be some in here with broken hearts that are hurting, that are having a problem. And everybody raised their hands. See, we're all going through something. It may be in different scales, different levels, but every one of us are experiencing things, challenges in this life. And if we're not careful, we can be knocked back by that challenge and knocked right into the place of Lodabar. And God's God's calling us out of that, saying, don't go there. I will be with you in the trial. I will be with you and I will lead you through. I will guide your path. I will help you. And so he calls us and tells us to come. Let's go to chapter 9 and go to the very first verse. And we're going to read the whole chapter. We read a couple of those verses just to locate where Mephibosheth ended so that I could describe not only Mephibosheth and what happened to him at 5 years old, but I could describe where he went, because that's the message to come out of Lodabar. But let's read the good news of the king who brings Mephibosheth out. He calls him out. And that's what God's doing today. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, Now Samuel said, Is there still anyone who is left in of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they had said, when they had called him to David, the king said to him, Are you Ziba? And he said, At your service. Isn't that a blessing? To have people who are there and ready to just serve. You know, that's what having an organizational structure can be. And David, who's the king, had an ability to be able to send someone, we're going to see, to make that call. The call comes from David, but it comes through Ziba, who lets him know the information and then can dispatch the call. So he said, At your service. So the king said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? David was so respectful of the anointing that even though Saul made himself David's enemy, was jealous of David, tried to kill David, and caused David to have to flee for his life and be in a place of wilderness himself, his own Lodabar for years. When it's all said and done and Saul dies, Jonathan dies, David's heart is grieved over that. And here he is on the throne, and there's been a period of time, and he's just reflecting on the past. How many of you have ever done that? He's remembering Jonathan, and he's remembering Saul. Because not everything about Saul was bad. He served at Saul's feet, he played the music to quiet the troubled spirit that Saul had. He remembered the greatest triumph in his life was because Saul allowed him as the king of Israel to go and to fight Goliath and even provided his own armor for David to be able to fight in. David chose not to because it was too big and awkward, but Saul gave him the blessing and had to. So he may have been just reflecting on the past and remembering some of these things. And he says, Is there not someone from the house of Saul? Isn't there anyone that I can be able to show kindness to? And you know, it just reminds me of where we need to be and not looking at the past and keeping a record of all the wrong. That's a burden, that is a weight that we'll carry in our life. What we need to be doing is we need to be looking back and being thankful. Remember that song, Count Your Blessings and Name Them One by One? That's what a believer should be doing. Not count your grievances and list them one by one, record them for posterity, meditate on them and dwell on them and become bitter about them and reminded as you go over that list and meditate on that list to remain bitter, to remain angry, to remain closed off, to remain in Lodabar. But God's saying, you know, look back and just remember the good things. We can do that and we can have a happier life, a life of peace. We can come out of Lodabar and look back and remember some things. David was looking back and wanted to show kindness. He was feeling grateful for the good things. And he was just feeling compassionate. I'm sitting on a throne. That throne went from Saul in his house to me in my house and will be in my my house for all of eternity. It was a promise God gave him. Of your throne, the Messiah will sit on it someday. You're out of your seed, the Messiah will come, and he will sit on your throne. That kingdom, that throne, that monarchy went from Saul in his house because of his sin, his transgression, over to David. And David's thinking about that. Look at all that I have. And is there no one left of Saul's house that I can at least show kindness to, that I can at least show compassion and mercy to? What a heart. Well, Ziba said to the king, there's still a son of Jonathan who's lame in his feet. I can't tell you how excited David must have been to hear that news. He's willing to show kindness to anybody out of Saul's house. And yet, the one who he's able to show that kindness to is his very best friend's own son. Can you imagine how thrilled he must have been? The king said to him immediately, where is he? You know, there's a son of Jonathan. Where is he? He's more motivated than ever to show kindness. And then Ziba said to the king, indeed, he's in the house of maker of Amiel in Lodabar. And King David sent and brought him out of the house of maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and he prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth comes in. He's probably heard from a number of other people, but especially his nurse. Can you imagine that even though her intentions were well, that she may have been saying all his life, never call yourself Mephibosheth. Your new name is Johnny. You don't come from from Jerusalem. You're not the king of the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. You're Johnny from Timbuktu. Never tell anybody what your name is. Never tell anybody where you came from. Don't tell anybody who you are. And never make a public showing of yourself. No, ever get, you know, this is a metaphor, so understand, I know there were not cameras back then. Never do anything to get your picture taken and be put on Facebook. Never do anything to get your name to be known and TV cameras to come and do an interview because you did something. You need to be anonymous. You need to be invisible. And her intention probably was very well, but he has probably spent who knows how long, maybe years, where he hasn't spoken his own name or heard somebody call him by his name. And David says, when he prostrates himself, because what did the other thing? She put fear in him about that. Because if you do any of those things, they're going to grab you and they're going to kill you because you're always a potential threat. So he goes and prostrates himself, pleading for the mercy of the king because he doesn't know why he's called. And David says, Mephibosheth? It's the first time he's heard his name. Are you getting the picture? I mean, God just put this on my heart, and forgive me if in my weakness I'm not giving you everything that you need in this, you know, just perfectly, but I hope you're getting this picture. It's stirring inside of me. Mephibosheth? Yeah, that's like a drink of water. That's just, maybe I can help you like this. How many of you have ever heard some of these true stories where somebody in this horrible evil that happens in our age, and it has over all the millennia, but where a child is abducted and they're given another name and they're told, you never do this, you never do that, you never leave the house, and it's just constant fear and everything else. And then one day they get out and somebody says, Mary, Rachel, Bill, Sonny, and they hear their name, and hearing your name with a compassionate ask, Mary, can be like more than water to the thirstiest of person, more than food to the hungriest of person. It's the beginning of life poured in. He's hearing his name. It's the beginning of the restoration of hope. God, the king in this story, is calling him out of Lodabar. Mephibosheth, he says. I hope you're getting the picture. I can't keep going. Where am I? My scripture's moved. Hey, somebody help me? Nobody's following? What verse? 7. Okay. Okay, yeah, it moved. I guess my thumb moved it. So David said to him, listen to this. Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself. And he said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Do you see what Lodabar can do to a person? I'm nothing. What am I? What am I? Who am I that you should look on a dead dog like me? The king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said to him, I have given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. You're going to live there. You're going to have this whole crew. You're going to run the land. You're going to do everything to take care of all of this. You're going to produce the crops. You're going to harvest the crops so he has food to eat. But he's going to eat at my table. Why would you say that? Because he's going to have children and grandchildren. And so you're going to do these things, but he himself is going to sit and eat continuously every meal at the king's table, at my table. So he was providing for Mephibosheth's children and grandchildren to give an inheritance. Mephibosheth has just now went from Lodabar, the land of dryness, the land of no pasture, of nothing, no resource, to the land of abundance, to the land of prosperity, to the land of blessing, to the land of restoration. Verse 11, Ziba said to the king, according to all my lord, did I read that Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants? So this is a lot of inheritance. Saul's lands and properties and everything else has a huge crew that's going to be able to take care of all of this for Mephibosheth, for his posterity. Then Ziba said to the king, verse 11, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. I want you to know that God has given me this message to share with you today, and he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And just as we see in this story that the king, in the context, King David, has called and brought Mephibosheth out to this land of abundance and is now going to be treated like one of his own sons, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, is calling you out of your land of Lodabar. And that's the message, that's the cry of God. Come out today. He will be like one of my sons. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. He wasn't perfect, but God still had a plan for him. God's still blessing him. God's not calling perfect people that are whole and with no flaws and no weaknesses in their life. He's calling people to love Him and for Him to just bestow His love on. See, David didn't know the condition of whoever it was. He says, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I can show kindness? And Mephibosheth's injury and the fact that he was lame did not prevent the king from letting him sit at that house. You do not have to be perfect to come to this church and be a part of this family. God's calling anyone who labors and are heavy laden to come to Him. And we're calling for anyone. This isn't an elite club where the people who are wealthy and prominent and successful get the front seats and all the attention, and the people who have little or no resource are left to the back. That's not the heart of Christ, who said, do not do that. And don't even try to do it for yourself. Amongst that, we all should be humble. We should serve one another. And everyone is equally loved in the eyes of God. Amen? Where did I leave off? Look up there. So we got 13 done, right? So the king showed him loving kindness. He blessed him. And you know, I was sitting in there this morning, and the Lord reminded me of, you know, how many of you been reading Matthew every day? I hope you're catching that when I'm out of the view. That you're reading Matthew every day, and if you remember, just a few days ago, we read about when the storm happened, and Jesus had sent the disciples out on a boat ahead of Him. And the storm happened, and He walked out there to them. They were in the Lodabar. And as He's walking out there, something happens. And if I could just quickly read this, and then I'm going to close with another passage. I just inserted this in there this morning. Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. And He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out with fear. Now, even the disciples of God could end up, you know, getting into some fear, and even a little superstitious. You know, they didn't have the whole Bible, the Word of God, and all the revelation that we've been blessed with over time. We truly are a blessed people. And so they thought it was a ghost, you know. No such thing, but that's what they thought. And so immediately Jesus spoke to them. It said they became fearful, and then it said immediately Jesus spoke to them. Jesus will speak to you in your Lodabar experience, in that place where you are afraid and that fear has got you, fear of coming back, fear of reconnecting, because people in Lodabar sometimes says, I've been away too long, I've closed myself off for too long to too many people, and they're not going to welcome me back. And fear will cause us to stay disconnected, and that's just the enemy that wants to do that. God is saying, come out of that place. And so just come back and know that you're going to be loved by God, you're going to be loved by God's people. And you'll be loved by the people that God puts in your life. God's the God of not the second chance or the third chance. He's the God of the millionth and billionth chance. And so He immediately spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I'm not going to leave you here alone. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. Now, I just found this interesting because I'm just meditating and this scripture pops into my spirit just having read it just the other day, because I was meditating on the come. And there's a storm, and they're in the midst of storm, and Jesus, in a sense, was saying, come out of it. Now, Peter initiated. I know it's not just the perfect thing, but understand, you can be in the midst of the storm and Jesus is available and He'll say, come. And Peter, and when Jesus, King Jesus says, come to Me, That come has such power in it, such force in it, that you can step out and walk on water. You can walk on those circumstances victoriously and be above them when the king says, come. So when you hear the voice of the king saying to you this morning, come out of Lodabar, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, don't be afraid. Just step out of that boat. Forget, shake off all of those things that has caused you to remain there. All of those thoughts and meditations to keep you there. And just hear the voice of your king and come. Isn't that beautiful? And Peter came. Now let me just drop down. There's some more scriptures there, but that was the big thing, is he said, come. And Peter, he came and was able to walk above the circumstances. That just blows me away. You just don't walk on water every day, do you? I only know of two people who did. There may be more. Maybe some missionary, God said, I need you over there. And the missionary walked over there, and it wasn't about being seen or anything else, and he did it, but I don't know. You know, could we walk on water if there was a need to? Yeah, any one of you in here could. He just says, come. And you just don't give it a second thought. Do it. But anyway, we're going to close with this. Romans 5, verse 6. Because, see, we can be in the spiritual Lodabar. When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, as I've reflected on this passage of Scripture, I know God was calling us to come out of that place of dryness, that place of no pasture, that place of no nutrition, no nourishment. But he also calls us first and foremost to come out of the spiritual dry place, where there's no life. And even as the king was calling for somebody from Saul's family to come, remember, in the natural, anybody of Saul's household is a potential enemy. If there's anyone, any descendant of Saul, legally speaking, he is a potential enemy because they can make a claim for the throne. But the king, while he was still an enemy, said, Mephibosheth, come into my house and you're going to eat at my table. And I'm going to give you all that your grandfather Saul had. I'm going to give you, I've prepared a place for you. I've prepared all of the things for you, and your descendants are going to be able to dwell there. But you're going to eat at my table. I'm going to treat you as one of my own sons. And the king is calling us today, the King of Kings. If we're in a place today of not just emotional, psychological hurt and pain that's happened in our life, a place of Lodabar, a place of loneliness, but we are sensing a spiritual Lodabar. I am so far from God, I wouldn't know his voice if I heard it. You've heard it this morning. He's calling you. And while we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. He shed his blood to be able to bring us into his table and to give us everything that he has and to treat us as one of his sons. And so if you're here today, the king is inviting you to join his family and join his table. And so I'm going to close a prayer in prayer over this message and make an invitation for anyone who may be here to just respond and come out of your Lodabar, out of that place of dryness of not having God in your life, and come to the king's table and become his son, his daughter this morning. Let us pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for calling us to come out of the place of Lodabar. And Lord, I don't have to pray a long prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken so clearly this morning that you are calling us out of Lodabar. Whether it's spiritual Lodabar, where we do not have a relationship with you, or we once did and drifted from you, or whether it's an emotional Lodabar from pains, from hurts, from wounds, from bitterness of things that have happened to us in our past, and it's got us in a place of no pasture. We respond to your voice right now as you say, come to me. Come, everyone. Lord, I thank you that even as I pray this prayer, that there are those who hear it and are saying, yes, Lord, I'm coming out of Lodabar. As Peter had to step out of the boat and Mephibosheth had to go when he was told the king was calling him, we have to choose to come to you right now. And I thank you for individuals who are making that choice. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed still, just very quickly, if you're here and you say, I'm someone that God made this message for, would you just look up at me and give me a nod of your head? I've been in Lodabar, and I want Jesus. Amen. I want Jesus. Amen. Amen. And let me make one qualification. I believe that those who have looked at me and acknowledged are the people who are going through problems in their life. If you're in the place where you can say, I've never asked Jesus into my heart, or I once did, but I've left the king's table and I've been in Lodabar. If that's you, I've never accepted the Lord, or I've fallen away, I'm far from God. Would you let me know that's you and you want that kind of prayer? Okay, I didn't think so. You, okay. And so we have one that's going to be making that kind of prayer. And I do that because I'm going to pray a prayer and let everybody, if you would, say these words with me to help that one as we pray and they enter, ask Jesus into their heart. And that may be someone who's watching this video or listening to this audio. All you have to do is mean it from your heart and just repeat along with us this prayer. Father God, I thank you for Jesus, the King of Kings. I thank you that Jesus has called to me today to come out of Lodabar, to join his family, the family of the Father, to be a child of God, to eat at the King's table. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me, for desiring me, for wanting me, and being willing to forgive my sin, to leave the past washed, to leave it cleansed, to heal it, and to take my sin and completely remove it from me. I thank you that your blood is cleansing me now. And I am, because of that, a child of God. I am born again. I am going to eat at your table for all of eternity. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now I pray for those others who looked up, Lord, that are in a Lodabar in pain. And others who may not have looked up, I just thank you that you've called us, everyone at different places, some all the way in the land of Lodabar. Thank you for calling us out of that. And we right now, we respond and we are coming out. We are choosing to get up and to depart from that land. We make a decision to reconnect to our family, to our friends, to our church family, Lord, and to reconnect with you. And we thank you, Lord, that as we are coming out of that land of Lodabar, that you are just going to bring us to the place of blessing and peace that passes all understanding. And we receive that right now. We thank you that it is in our past. We're leaving it behind and that the future is bright and your plan for us is good. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.